So the last thing I want to ask you about, and actually I was even as interested in seeing the results of this one as all the stuff we've talked to up to now, is a patient without targetable lesions, but with a high TPS score, PD-L1 level. So we presented a couple of cases. Actually, one was Matt's case, a patient who had a TPS of 80%, no targetable lesions, woman in her late 60s, one centimeter asymptomatic met and superior vermis. So, kind of a stereotactic type model, similar to what we were talking about before, but wondering whether with this high TPS score, people will sort of shift into the targeted model. And it actually kind of looks similar results, a little bit more stereotactic surgery, but quite a number of people, almost half in the pre-meeting survey of the audience and oncologists, who would use pembrolizumab in that situation. When we asked the faculty, there was more orientation around stereotactic radiation surgery. That was the answer you gave. Maybe people not as comfortable with that model. But then the one I really wanted to see was the 12 asymptomatic brain mets that was going to require whole brain radiation. Still, 40% of the audience says they'll use whole brain radiation, but the rest would use pembro or pembro plus chemo. When we asked the faculty, most of the faculty says pembrolizumab, either alone or with chemotherapy, and that's what you said. I'm guessing you might have done this, have you?
Yeah, certainly this comes up from time to time. And I think the real drive, again, is we want to try to avoid whole brain if we can. We don't like those toxicities, both short-term and long-term, and we'd like to try something that avoids that. We know that pembrolizumab in a patient with a very high TPS has a really good response rate, but it's not quite as good as what we see with TKIs. It's probably in the 50% range for a patient with a very high TPS score. So I think we all believe that pembrolizumab can be effective. We've seen it be effective in the CNS, and so I think we feel comfortable giving it a try when the downside of not trying, of giving whole brain radiation therapy is pretty big.
What do we know about responsiveness to brain mets with PD-1 therapy and PD-1 therapy with chemotherapy?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen the initial data for single-agent pembrolizumab, as well as the combination chemotherapy plus pembrolizumab data. But we don't have as much information about CNS efficacy. And I think that's largely because of the way the trials were designed. Those trials prohibited patients with CNS metastases from enrolling. And so we have to look at sort of more boutique trials. And the one example that we often show is from Dr. Goldberg at Yale. And she enrolled patients with brain metastases, either from non-small cell lung cancer or melanoma, and gave them pembrolizumab. And she saw gratifying responses in a significant number of patients. So that tells us these drugs work there. Whether they're quite as good as they are systemically, I think remains to be seen, and we need to learn a little bit more about it.
We're hearing a lot of excitement from the melanoma people about ipi/nivo specifically in brain mets. And of course, they use it a lot just in metastatic disease. Any reason to think that might be better in lung cancer in the brain?
I think the role for ipi/nivo generally is a little bit unclear right now. We certainly have seen some positive data to support its use, and I haven't seen enough data to say whether it might be useful in the brain, but I certainly look forward to seeing more.